of the Rebel Radio Podcast. This is Mark.
This is Matt.
And we took a couple of weeks off. We always do after Comicpalooza, because it's a lot.
Yeah, it's a lot.
And sometimes you have to recharge your battery, so to speak. Not those kind of batteries, people.
Just no.
The figuratively mental kind of batteries.
Yeah.
So, you know, what have you been up to, man? It's been a couple of weeks since we've gotten into the Casa de Mark studio.
Watching all kinds of stuff, all kinds of movies. It was the... Was it 17 years since Gone in 60 Seconds?
I don't know.
And I rewatched it because I think there's two scenes that I really like in that movie, and that's whenever he's at the Ferrari dealership, and he's like, "Hi, my name's Roger. Can I help you?" And he's like, "My name's Roger too. Two Rogers don't make a right." Ho 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 ho. And he's like, "There's too many self-indulgent wieners in this town," and then the chase at the end with the Shelby GT500 Eleanor.
You know, you go back, you watch some of those late 2000, early 2000 Nick Cage movies like that, and
yeah,
Ghost Rider, and you. Not that they're not enjoyable films, like going, but you start to see where Nick Cage's career started just nosediving after.
Oh yeah.
The Oscar, and then the success he had in the 90s with Face Off and the greatest action movie ever, Con Air.
Yes.
And you just see where it kind of just started going.
And it was right after he refused to play Strider for Lord of the Rings. He was the first choice.
Oh, Lord. I'm glad he didn't.
And Sean Connery was the first choice for Gandalf.
Well, I knew they wanted him, but he had turned him down. But
yes,
but then they actually filmed some stuff with the guy who was in Queen of the Dam.
Oh, okay.
He filmed like 3 months on it before him and Peter Jackson get along, and he quit, and that's when they brought in
Viggo Mortensen. Him too.
And but now I can't imagine anybody but Viggo doing it.
No. You know,
he is Aragorn to me.
Yes.
Even when they do this Amazon TV series, it's like most of the other roles...
It's five seasons, right?
Yeah, most of the other roles in that, I'm okay with them recasting, but, like, there's sometimes iconic characters, like, we've talked on the show before about who's going to replace Hugh Jackman if they ever reboot Indiana Jones.
Mm-hmm.
It's going to be very difficult. And, you know, we just got through Solo, and they did a good job with that.
Oh, yeah.
Heinrich, he did a good job, but, like, Aragorn and Viggo Mortensen's very iconic to me, and it's going to be hard to see anyone else, because Viggo did an amazing job with that film, so we'll see. But Nicolas Cage as Aragorn, thank God that didn't happen.
Yeah.
I love Cage, man. Cage. You know, I love Cage, but man, I'm kind of glad that didn't happen.
It's kind of like an Elvis flair. He would be like a Strider with like a little Elvis flair to him.
But so you didn't really hit, man, I had an exciting weekend. One reason not only did we take a break, but I was also out of town last weekend. I went to my first ever race, motor cars. It was a Formula One race. Actually, when we left Friday, it was up in Dallas, mm-hmm, at Texas Motor Speedway, and Friday night was the NASCAR Truck Series, and that was pretty cool, you know, seeing these trucks high speed. They go about 170 miles an hour around the track, and man, these tracks are impressive if you've never been to one. Like, they hold 170,000 people, and there weren't that many people there, because that's more for the regular NASCAR. This mm-hmm race is a little bit smaller. And but it was neat, and there's fireworks at the end. It was impressive. But the Saturday was the big day. We got to we went with my brother, and I took my older son Michael, and my brother took his older son, and a friend of my brother's named Al, who provided the tickets. And so Saturday we had pit passes.
Nice.
And we got to walk down on the inside of the track and go see all the cars up close. We took the boys on riding a big monster truck. They had fun doing that. Michael was about scared of his out of his life, like a roller coaster. Walked around, they had these like dirt cars that just do a quick race through like a mud pit, and we got to watch them. They're really freaking loud.
That's cool.
It was hot, but we survived. There's Torchy's tacos in the middle of the track. It was kind of cool.
Yeah.
We're like eating tacos in the middle of the track. We got to see the little dune buggy race cars too, and they did a race. And then that night we watched the Formula One race, and man, those cars zip by about 240 miles an hour. It's just zing, zing, mm-hmm, zing. And it's really cool to see in person. I'm not really a race guy. You know, everybody makes fun. It's like a redneck thing. You know, and but to see it in person, it's impressive. And we had a really good time. We had sweet tickets Saturday, too. So we got free food and beer. You know, I indulged in a few Miller Lights. You know, why
there
not?
There we go.
And it was really cool. I also got to meet a really cool person. Al, his goddaughter, lives in Dallas. And she met up with us. And she's an aspiring actor. She's done some independent films. and a really beautiful young lady, and her name is Madison. And so a shout out to her for just being a cool person. She was great with the kids, and we hung out with her, and she was really nice and really good to meet, and we connected with her. And we may even have her on the show one day. We have an aspiring actress on the show. I kind of talked a little bit about it, plugged my thing, you know, and she was like, she seemed interested. So
there we go.
So we'll see. Another cool thing was, along with the pit passes, you can go in the garages. And I didn't know this, man.
What?
I thought it was like in Days of Thunder and stuff where they just, the cars are pulled off the truck and ready. They're basically building, the cars come now all kit together.
Mm-hmm.
And they build them right there in the garages. The Formula One cars.
Yeah, the engines are built.
Are apart.
Before.
And they're just putting all together to get ready for the race at night. I was like, well, I didn't know this.
Yeah.
And that was cool. We got to see them all up close. And that was really neat. So it was definitely a different sports. I've been to, NBA games, NFL, Major League Baseball. I've been to minor league hockey, but I've never been anything like this, and this was a unique experience, and it was a lot of fun, and something Michael will remember his whole life, I'm sure. And so that was a really cool weekend, something I had never done. Got back Sunday and went to work this week, and work has been very exhausting after being out of town for the weekend, but it was a good time. So not really technically connected to what we talk about on the show, but it was a race, and it's somewhat connected.
Yeah, yeah.
Cool. We did do Mad Max our last show.
Yeah, we did.
And we're doing Akira today, which is, motorcycles in it and stuff. So, so it's somewhat connected, So that was my excitement for the last week and a half.
Nice.
And I don't think anything else exciting happened other than going to the race. But that's pretty fucking big excitement.
Yeah, that is. Yeah, man. Yeah, Akira and motorcycles.
Right.
Speaking about racing, my dad used to flat track. He had to give up motorcycle racing before my mom agreed to marry him. And it was embarrassing. He invited her to his first race, and my dad's family didn't have a lot of money, so they just went to the junkyard and they grabbed half of a bike here, half of a bike there, and then they piece it together. And so his bike didn't start on the first race that she went to go watch. And my dad has like a temper whenever things don't work, and he threw his bike down, started kicking it, threw his helmet at it, and she was just, this is the guy that I'm with right now. Okay.
And so she told him you had to give that up to marry me.
Yes.
So if he decided not to give up racing, you might not be here.
It's true.
That would be like
kind of strange. I'm lucky he, Akira didn't come out earlier. Maybe he would have been like, no, I'm a racer.
Supposed to like look at the camera when I'm taking pictures of our recording.
Sorry. I feel like Zoolander, whenever a camera's on me, I have to, do my Blue Steel or Ferrari or Matigua or whatever that is. And give it the old Derek Zoolander face.
No, please don't.
No.
All right. Well, any other excitement? I mean, it's hard to top mine going to the race.
Yeah, man, that is a really cool experience. And and you ate tacos in the middle of a track.
I know.
Are going 13,000 RPMs.
Well, and people may not know, Torchy's Tacos is kind of, it started in Austin, Texas. It's kind of becoming a famous taco place here. And these are like some of the best fucking tacos you can have anywhere.
Yeah.
And I'm just sitting there thinking, like, this is kind of surreal. I'm eating Torchy's Tacos in the middle of a racetrack.
Tacos, beer, fast cars, engines, women. It's awesome.
What's not to like?
It's, yeah.
You know, right?
It doesn't top that. Nothing tops that.
No, it was a really good weekend, and I know Al won't listen to the show, but a big thank you to him for taking us. It was a really cool experience, so it was fun. So let's get into today's show. We always start things with download this. Frank's not here today. He's taking some time off, and that's probably good because, we always are afraid what he might download.
Yeah.
It might be,
He's like, I tried to download Incredibles 2, but there was this weird scene with Mrs. Incredible in there, and I don't think it was the right one. And then he'd go into too much detail and be like, no, Frank, no.
Yes. He forces me sometimes to do a little more editing on the show.
Yeah.
So what have you watched, streamed, or played lately? I don't know.
I've watched Minority Report, The Last Samurai, and, of course, Akira. Of course, I've seen it.
Nothing new, nothing updated.
No, nothing new, nothing updated. I really wanted to catch Incredibles on Thursday and take my son, but just like you, work has been exhausting this week, and unfortunately, the hours at work this week haven't been ideal to making it to the movie. So
right.
I was out of luck. Maybe these next few days I'll catch it.
I haven't. Sitting here thinking, what have I watched lately? I can't really think of anything, but I did. When PlayStation had their sale a few weeks ago, I purchased the remastered version of The Last of Us, and I hadn't really sat down and played it, and I finally sat down and started, and I played the original on the PS3, and I love the game. It's my all-time favorite game. So I've been playing the remastered version, which is phenomenally done. I mean, they re-rendered the graphics. It's an amazing-looking game. And so I started playing that, and then, of course, E3 happened this past week, and I know you're not a big video game guy. Frank's always giving you a hard time about getting a console or whatever, and that's fine. You're not, you like what you like. You're more of a retro gamer, but they showed some gameplay and trailer for The Last of Us.
And I saw it.
Part 2. I did watch it. I can't freaking wait. I usually don't go out and buy a game brand new for $60 because I'm patient. I can wait till games go buy it down in price. But if I have the $60 when it comes out, this is a game I want to get right away, you know, because I really like that game. And it's honestly probably my favorite game I've ever played, the original. So looking forward to the sequel.
No, I saw the gameplay, and it was just awesome. It starts off with the, looks like they're having a little dance. Maybe there's a time of peace at the beginning. That trailer, right?
Yeah.
And then it goes into the gameplay where she just takes on, and it looks like, I forget the character's name, but she's the only playable player. You can't play the guy anymore.
Well, we don't know that for sure.
Well, yeah. And then,
'cause the first trailer, Joel's in it, so we don't know yet that he's not going to be. You know, there's a lot of suspicion that he gets killed early on the game and you only play Ellie, but we'll see.
Okay.
You know.
But yeah, the gameplay looks awesome. She's like took a couple shots to her shoulder, and she's killing people with arrows, pulling arrows out of dead people and shooting them back. I'm like, this makes me almost want a PS4.
Well,
really
in the first game, Ellie is kind of coming on her own. She's not sure what's going on in this world. She's trying to survive. By the end of the game, she's a survivalist, and it looks like in the sequel, she's an all-out badass.
Nice.
And an incredible game, not just from gameplay standpoint, but it's cinematic. It's great storytelling. It's got human emotion to it, and it's one of the first games I ever played that felt like I was playing a living movie in some ways. And Naughty Dog does a great job of that. That's the studio. They also do the Uncharted games, which are also phenomenal. I mean, I've told people before, if you ever buy a PlayStation 4, by the Uncharted series and The Last of Us, and you're good to go. And then after that, anything else is gravy, because those games are really such amazingly done. And of course, their first three Uncharted's were on the original PS3, but they've remastered them for the PS4 also. That studio just is just a great, great game studio. I mean, that's
Would you compare it to Resident Evil? Resident Evil 2. Whenever you're kind of a story that's going along.
I think they're even better. Wow. I think, yeah, they're a phenomenal storytelling game. Them and Rockstar Games. Now, Rockstar, maybe not so much with the Grand Theft Auto games, but like L.A. Noire and Red Dead Redemption are very cinematic, and I'm really looking forward to Red Dead 2. Those two companies, I think, are just a step above everyone else when it comes to their storytelling games. I'm sure there's some out there I'm missing, but, you know.
Yeah.
Like, Insomniac Spider-Man game looks fantastic. You know, that
looks
really
well. I saw that one, too.
You know, and
with the Sinister Six.
Yeah.
Yeah.
That looks really well done, and it's a more mature Spider-Man. I think I read it's like he's been Spider-Man for 8 years when this takes place. So that looks really great. And we're going to talk a little bit more about Spider-Man later in our news, because there's a Spider-Man trailer that's out there for the animated movie.
Yes.
That we're going to be discussing in just a little bit. So that's all I can think of that I've downloaded, really, is The Last of Us, and finally was able to sit down and play some of it. And I feel like there's something I watched, but I just can't remember what it was.
Maybe you watched it in your sleep.
You know, I know I did finally sit down. Dude, believe it or not, I had never saw the season finale of Rick and Morty for season 3.
Yeah.
Because my DVR messed up. There was a storm that night and it never recorded. They put season 3 on Hulu, so I finally was able to sit down and watch season finale of Rick and Morty. And I think we talked a couple of episodes ago that it got picked up for 70 more episodes, and production finally started on season 4. And they're saying early 2019, so not much longer to wait for more Rick and Morty, because, man, that show is fantastic. I know you still got to get caught up on it, don't you?
I do need to get caught up on it.
Sit down on Hulu, man, and blow through it. They're 20 minutes each, dog. Come on, man.
Oh, yeah, that's like watching Cobra Kai. You can watch the whole season of Cobra Kai in a day.
Man, Rick and Morty, dude. And as long as I know you, Matt, I just think that you will fall in love with Rick and Morty. You like weird, fucked up, creative stuff, so I think you'll like it, you know. So you got to sit down and watch that. Before we get on, any other shout-outs that I can think of? Oh, my boy Ronnie, he bought a shirt from us. My boy Matt Tarbutton, he bought a shirt a couple weeks ago, and I forgot to give him a shout-out in the last
show.
There
we go. It's his birthday today.
Is it?
Yeah,
on Facebook? I haven't been on Facebook much today.
Yeah, happy birthday, Matt Tarbutton.
There you go, man. And Frank's not here. We completely forgot last show. I kind of felt bad, man. We recorded his birthday weekend.
Yeah.
And, man, but happy birthday to Frank. Frank. Yeah, Frank did Mad Max with us. Yeah.
Yeah, he
and
did
we,
Mad Max.
We forgot to tell Frank on the show happy birthday. His birthday was June 5th.
Yeah, I think
Frank
he was
doesn't
a little
like
bummed
to tell people his birthday because he's paranoid of the internet for some reason. But you know, he's old and you know, crotchety.
It's okay.
But, so happy birthday to our co-host Frank T. Biscuit or Davidson or whatever name he's going by nowadays.
Oh yeah.
Oh, we said his last name on the air. He's gonna get paranoid.
Ah, jeez.
So
man.
You know,
damn. He's gonna have to move to
Should
Alaska
we give out his
now.
Phone number too?
Yeah.
You know.
Yeah.
We'll give out his emails. Email something like ScotlandPrideUSA@hotmail.com. Go email Frank dick pics, okay? Or what they call it now, they call it wiener art.
Wiener art, you know? Yes.
So, yeah, go email Frank and pick your junk, man. I'm saying.
Dick Casso.
That'd be funny. For a happy birthday to him, Dick Casso.
Yes.
You know? So so that's a couple of shouts we had there. If you want to buy a shirt and get a shout out on the show, TheRebelRadioPodcast.com. Click the store link. We've got some shirts. And it supports the show. And we are seriously looking in for a launch of Patreon to support the show another way. I'm looking at, like, right after episode 100, maybe, early July, to launch a Patreon.
That
and there's
cool.
also a donate button on RebelRadioPodcast.com. If you don't want to buy a shirt and just want to donate $5 to us, donate through the PayPal link there. That helps us out, too. So enough plug here on the show. Let's get into the 1988 classic Akira. Or Akira.
Akira.
Americans say Akira in the movie. They're like, Akira. You
Akira.
Know? But, you know, we've been talking for a little bit about doing an anime. And we threw ideas around. There's such a lot of great stuff out there. There's a lot of great animated movies. You know, and I was like, well, let's go. If we're going to do an anime, as much as I want to get to stuff like Princess Mononoke and Spirited Away, Ghost in the Shell, let's do the one that really brought it to the mainstream in America. And that is Akira. You know, it is the movie that really, I mean, there was an anime presence. You know, there it's Speed Racer, Voltron, Robotech, mostly stuff that was on television.
Mm-hmm.
But as far as film, nothing really crossed over until this movie came out. And there was a few things, but nothing that really hit big.
And most of it was just ill confidence in a, you know, animation industry
and
for adults.
And how to market it.
Yeah, because even, I mean, you had people that were, you know, detrimental to, You had visionaries in the 80s like George Lucas and Spielberg who were like, no, you know, we can't do this. This is, it's not going to be good. It's not going to work. And so they didn't want to take on any projects like animated movies that geared towards adults.
Right.
And this one really does gear towards adults. I mean, there are adult underlying themes in here that they try and touch on a lot. They miss some of it, but, you know, hey, whenever you're cramming 6 volumes and 2,000 pages into a movie, it's hard. So they kind of took the first half of the first volume and the last half of the last one, and they kind of tried to trickle some stuff in
there. They formed a whole committee.
Yeah.
The Akira Committee.
Yeah,
to put it together.
The Akira Committee.
And Katsura Otomo, who was the writer of the manga, also is director of the film. And so he wanted to oversee, because he didn't want to do it. He was, like, against turning in it, and then until he realized that the studio was behind him and doing it the right way. And once he got support, he was like, okay, let's do it.
$10 million of support.
Yeah, and $10 million, which is very expensive for an animated movie in the 80s. And he realized, if we're going to do this, let's do it the right way. And he was able to bring people in and do it. And if you haven't watched Akira, it's on Hulu right now, so you can go watch it. But I think if you're listening to our show and you're in this genre of films, you've probably seen this now. So hopefully you've seen it, and hopefully you enjoy hearing what we have to say about it. For me, my first experience of it was, this was my first big anime ever. I remember watching it probably in high school, because it, American 1990, 2 years after its release in 1988. So it's the 30th anniversary here on July 16th, I think it was, around there. It's coming up. And so I discovered it in high school in, on a VHS tape, just like a lot of things, and it blew me away at the time. I remember watching, wow, I'd never seen, I had seen Heavy Metal,
which was like
American adult animation. But
with John Candy.
Yeah, but let's face it, man, you watched Heavy Metal for the sex and the boobs.
Yeah, robot sex.
Yeah, you didn't really care about the animation style. But I remember watching Akira and going, wow, man, this isn't Disney. This is adult. This is superly.
Oh, yeah.
It was like watching my comic books I read come to life on the screen because it was that well drawn. You know, and not that Disney and other animations weren't well drawn, but this just had a different realism to it.
Well, the reason that was is because they had anywhere between 12 and 24 frames per second, which is why the film really moves like liquid. Mm-hmm. And a lot of that is due to the committee that really funded this movie and was able to boost it up to where the budget allowed them to compete with Disney.
Yeah.
So Disney couldn't at all. You know, and it's not that Disney's, you know, not bad. It's that Disney's awesome, and right. So was this film. And it went toe-to-toe with this.
When was the first time you watched it?
I was in high school as well. I didn't see it until, I mean, it's an adult film, so it's hard for, you to get, you know.
It came out, you were born in 86.
I was born in 86.
Like 3 years old when it came out.
Yeah, so I saw it when I was probably 16, 2003-ish. So, and I liked it. It was very adult. I wasn't sure what to think of it at first. I just saw it, and I was like, okay, this is cool. Why is there a giant, you know, stuffed animal? And why did a wall turn into a bunch of Legos?
Right.
But you watch it now, and, you know, you kind of get it. I think it's a film that you definitely have to watch twice to kind of just see everything.
It took me a long time growing up to realize he was hallucinating.
Yes.
Those animals and stuff. I didn't get that. I didn't know. You know, and a quick plot synopsis, in case people don't know, is in the future, World War III has occurred. It's kind of explained in the manga and through the synopsis that it's by accident.
Yeah.
They actually don't mean to destroy Tokyo, but it sets off World War III. And so years later, Tokyo is rebuilt, and
Neo Tokyo.
And throughout the evolution of man, there are kids that are developing telekinetic powers. They call them Espers. And the government's trying to keep it secret because they don't want it to get out. And so they have them in a hidden base. And Kaneda and Tetsuo are part of a biker gang called the Capsules, and they are always at war with a biker gang called the Clowns.
Mm-hmm.
So it starts out as a simple just kind of street movie about these biker gangs. And it ends up turning out that Tetsuo is taken in by the government because of a Esper that's on the run that they have a run-in with.
Yeah.
And so Tetsuo gets taken in, and through his car accident, his telekinetic powers are unleashed. But being that the other Espers are younger and they're controlled by the government, so they're children. They call them babies so they can keep them under control. But Tetsuo is older and he doesn't want to have it. He wants his newfound powers to kick ass.
Yes.
He feels it. I wouldn't say he's evil, but more of a power trip.
Yes.
That Tetsuo is like, you know,
he's
what?
Always needed help.
Yeah, I've always needed help. I'm tired of people fucking with me. I'm fucking back, you know?
Mm-hmm.
And throughout of all, there's a person named Akira, however you want to say it.
Yeah.
I like to say it, Akira. And he was like, I guess the idea was that he was the original Esper. And he has been put into a chamber buried deep beneath Olympic Stadium.
Which is funny because the Olympics are going
to... Because the government wanted him to be put away because they didn't understand his power.
Mm-hmm.
But Tetsuo wants to go after him and find out who this Akira was because he wants to be the most powerful. And chaos ensues. Tetsuo ends up destroying half the city, and it ends kind of like, what would you say the ending? It's kind of left up to judgment. Did Akira kill Tetsuo?
The creator of Akira, he wanted to leave it open because he was still writing that manga.
Right.
So he didn't want to give away
the
ending.
He had about 2 years left of writing on it, yeah.
He wanted to give them a little bit without giving them the whole dinner menu, you know, so to say. So... they left it open for interpretation of what happened.
Right.
And
because Kaneda and Kai, the girl, they leave off in the distance, so they're not sure what happened either.
Mm-hmm.
You know, and Kaneda says something like, well, we'll see him again, you know, or something like that, to that extent.
Six volumes. But it was really successful. And, you know, people tried to make a live-action film of it.
There's still talks on it. Sony, Warner Brothers has the rights now. There's been talks about it. There's been concept art that's been put out, so I think it's going to happen eventually.
The fan-made trailer looks good.
I think the non-success of Ghost in the Shell has affected it on how to market it, which is a shame, because I actually really liked the Ghost in the Shell live-action film. And I get it, Asian Americans that were upset by Scarlett Johansson being cast, but... Unfortunately, the success of that film may have Warner Bros. Balking at live-action Akira, but I hope it happens eventually. But this movie was a massive success. It did well at the box office. It's been one of the top-selling anime, Blu-ray, DVD, VHSs of all time.
Yes.
It's more than made its money back. And it's still, even today, you and me were texting back our show prep, how well it holds up. It's a great story. It's considered one of the top 100 films of all time. It makes a lot of lists. consider its makes list of top films you need to see before you die. It was a high budget anime, not just because Otomo wanted it done right. They filmed on a lot of night scenes and black backgrounds, which was unheard of until Batman the Animated Series was all filmed black. And because in order to make the animation look right, you have to use a lot more colors. This is a very colorful film.
Yes.
It's a very detailed film. Lots of background details, little things that I didn't notice when I was younger watching. And I watch it now, and I'm like, wow, this is a really detailed film. And I sent you a text saying that this is really well animated, even by today's standards. And you sent me a text back showing me a Dragon Ball Z, but the difference is now CGI enhances things now. I admit that in the point that this can stand up by today's animation extremely well, and it still looks really great. And they use a little CGI on this, but it was still new, but it was mostly just little tweaks here and there.
Yeah.
Like computer screens, things like that in it. And overall, it's a great action movie. It's a great story. And still one of the best animes ever
made. Best anime ever made, because it happened in the golden age of anime. And then, you know, it brought about the term Japanime.
Right.
And that's what everyone called it. And it started making anime more popular. So, you know, we can essentially thank it for the popularity of Dragon Ball Z, the popularity of a lot of anime you have today. The Matrix is heavily inspired by this film. So,
well, and Akira is given credit for bringing anime to Western civilization, to America. And granted, like we said, there were TV shows and stuff like that, but not on the film industry. And this movie is the one that a lot of us were introduced to anime because of this movie. And I honestly think I would not have seeked out more anime if I had never watched Akira. It's made me want to watch Ninja Scroll and
Fish the North Star.
Ghost in the Shell, Fist of the North Star. There was a series I really enjoyed about like these naval ships. I can't remember the name of it, that I used to rent from my comic store, and a series I watched. Gundam Mobile Suit.
Yes, Gundam
this
Mobile
was,
Suit.
You know, something that was able to come over to America because of the success of it.
And those are all part of the golden age of anime. That's the whole era, man. The 80s was awesome. The 70s, you had like, 10? I think there was 10 anime films that were pretty quiet. It wasn't until Akira, man, that, you know, all of this started becoming, you know, more than just a whisper. You know, even though it didn't do well in theaters, because it was a limited release, so even though it only made like $500,000 in theaters,
something like that,
as soon as it hit
worldwide,
VHS,
it did like 49 million.
Oh yeah, worldwide it was massive.
Yeah,
just in the States, because it was so young and so new. Whenever it hit VHS in the States, though, people started buying the VHS like crazy, and it made a whole lot more money than it ever would have in the States in the theaters, because, you know, a ticket's a fraction of the price of a VHS
tape.
I have
to look in the boxes at my mom's, but I think I own this on VHS.
Really?
I know I have it on DVD. I've been wanting to get the Blu-ray. I just haven't, because it's kind of expensive. You know, anime is always expensive.
Yeah.
And Best Buy, two or three times a year, Best Buy will run anime on sale. That's how I got my Ghost in the Shell. I picked it up for like $12. And nice. I got to do that with Akira. Wait till they pick it up for like $12. Some interesting notes in this film is that all the voice recording was done before the animation was done.
And so was the instrumental work.
And the music, which was usually not that way, so they had to edit some of the music to fit it in, which is an interesting concept. Most of the time, they anime first, and then they do the voice so that they can fit the voices over the animation for the proper way. So that was an interesting note in the film. It was actually re-released in 2001 with a new dub, and which is the DVD I have.
Oh, yeah.
And they re-release it. And now, the current Blu-ray, I think it has a new dub on it, but also has the original dub, because there are a lot of people that didn't like the new dub.
Yeah.
Even though it's more accurate English-wise.
Mm-hmm.
You know, but people just didn't like the changes. They didn't like the voice, like the original voices. Because I noticed in the new dub, they do say, like, we've been joking about how you say the name, they tend to say Akira more, where in the original, it seems like they say Akira more.
Mm-hmm.
So, and I watched it on DVD only because Hulu was acting up. Did you watch it on Hulu?
I didn't. I rented it on Vudu.
Okay, which version is on there? Is it Akira or Akira?
It's Akira.
Okay.
Yeah.
So that's the original dub then, probably.
Yeah, the original dub, which has the original Leonardo, the guy who voiced Leonardo as Kaneda.
Right. And then, talk about Kaneda and Tetsuo. There used to be a running joke on this movie back in the day about, like, have you seen Akira? People would yell at you. They would go, Tetsuo! And they'd go, Kaneda! Because they yell at each other a lot in the movie.
Yeah.
You know, and And I used to, like, not... I remember that joke back in the day, too. Like, you know, why are you yelling at me, Kaneda? You know, so, other thoughts on this movie? I mean, you know...
No, it's a great anime film. It is hard to follow. They try and mix in stuff like politics, religion, God, power, war, stuff.
They especially mix in towards all these, the end of the film.
Yeah, and I think they just kind of put that stuff in there, you know, way too late. The other characters, the supporting characters that have, like, you know, maybe 20 to 30 minutes of film time, those characters actually have, like, whole chapters on them in the manga, and they play more prime roles in the film. But yeah, you know, for what, you know, I mean, I've never seen the manga, but for, you know, what they had to work with,
got a few issues.
They did a good job.
An interesting scene in this movie, and it's funny because when I was researching for the podcast, I didn't know this, and it's always been one of my favorite scenes in the movie, is when it was one of the first movies when Tetsuo goes into space to destroy the satellite.
Mm-hmm.
There's no sound, and that, which is scientifically accurate. You're not going to hear anything in space, right?
Yeah.
And this is one of the first movies to do that, and now movies like Gravity and stuff like that do make sure there's no sound in space because they want to be more scientifically accurate.
Mm-hmm.
But I thought that was an interesting fact I didn't know about the movie, because I always thought that was a cool-ass scene where this thing is shooting a laser down in space at Tetsuo trying to destroy him. It blows his arm off.
Yes.
He's pissed off. He flies into space like, really? Destroy you. Because his kinetically, I guess his telepathic powers, he can pretty much, he's almost all powerful. He can almost destroy anything.
Yeah.
And they don't overly explain that in the movie. It's funny because the movie does, like you said, it does this thing where it heavily explains things, the religion and power and warn it, but they also don't overly explain the powers. All you know is that these kids have these powers and they're badasses.
Yeah.
And you assume it's from the evolution after World War III, possibly radiation, possibly something like the next evolution of man. So the movie does a good job in letting its part superhero, part action adventure movie, and part very heavy neo-political religious movie. You know, does that make sense?
That makes sense.
You know, I mean, anything else you found out about this movie while researching you didn't know?
I know that, man, there was a lot. I was really impressed with how many frames per second they did, because apparently 24 pages per second was unheard of,
right.
And it blew the record. I think the previous record was like 15, 16, 17, somewhere around there. And this movie was so just visually awesome just because of how much artwork was put into this, how much hand drawing was put. I know there's like a couple goofs where Kaneda's shoes change color whenever he's walking in the street. When he's leaning on the jukebox, you can see that there's three bands. There's the Doors, there's Cream,
and Led Zeppelin
on the jukebox. I like his motorcycle. His motorcycle's cool. What else? Man, not.
In pop culture, the movie has gained a huge cult following. Not that I'm a Kanye fan, but he's a big fan of the game.
Yeah,
the movie.
He modeled a song after
it. The movie
it.
Has had video games made after it. McFarlane did some action figures. In fact, up here on our desk is a little Kaneda figure, little mini model that I have on his bike. It's been, I think the last movie we did, Mad Max, I would think that there's some influence from this on that. Not that George
Dystopian
Miller.
Future.
Yeah, not that George Miller, Mad Max came out before it, but I would think that at some point George Miller sat down and watched Akira. And, obviously, I think a lot of anime today is heavily influenced by the styles of this and wanting to be as good as it is.
Yeah, no, absolutely. Like, I think Dragon Ball Z was credited Akira with, you know, because of its success. You know, they tried to make, you know, Goku and Vegeta kind of like Tetsuo and Kaneda.
Yeah, and the movie was well received by critics. It's people liked it. It was well. There were people that didn't quite understand it at the time,
mm-hmm.
And I do think this is one of those movies that it's definitely you have to watch it a few times to really quite understand it all. It's funny. I definitely understand it better now than I ever did when I was younger.
Yeah.
And like I said, I didn't get the hallucination thing. I didn't really realize what was going on. There's little things I missed in the film. Like I never picked up on that when Tetsuo has his hallucinations that he's seeing the future. It's all interlocked with the explosions at the end of Destruction of the Stadium.
Mm-hmm.
I never picked up on that when I was younger watching it. But overall, rewatching this recently, I think that it's still one of my favorite animes of all time. I think it's really, really good, and I think it's really well animated. And I would be down for a live-action version of this. If it's done right, you get the right director in there. You know, honestly, James Cameron comes to mind. I know he'll never do it, man, but he's the type of guy that I think could take a complex story like this and make a really spectacular film. I don't know who else. I wouldn't even get into casting, but I kind of hope that this gets made into a live-action film because I think it's a really cool story, and visually it could lend itself to the really great live-action film. We got to see Kaneda's bike in Ready Player One, you know.
I haven't seen Ready Player One yet.
Yeah, Artemis, the character in there, she drives it, and that was really cool nod to Akira, so another pop culture reference. So if you've never sat down to watch Akira, you need to. It's definitely something that, like you said, it's a made list of 100 films you should see before you die.
Yes.
This is definitely one. So go on Hulu and watch it if you haven't already. It's English dubbed on there. There's also the original Japanese version. Like live action foreign films, I prefer the original language because I want the mouths to match. Animation, I can, you know, subtitled, I don't have to have subs. I can watch it dubbed. You know, it's just personal preference.
Yeah.
Final thoughts for you on Akira.
No, it's a good watch. You might have to watch it a couple times to really absorb it and really get what's going on because it can confuse you, you know.
It's a very complex film.
Yeah, it's like, I mean, whenever you see Tetsuyo's guts just pouring out, I was like, whoa. Is he just, what's going on? And he's really just having a migraine.
And see, when I was little, I used to think Akira was doing that to him. I thought he was making him see things.
Yeah.
And I realized it was his power. Now I realize his powers are getting so out of control that he says he's having a psychic break. And
yeah.
It's like, and now you watch, now you realize that Akira is just trying to help him the whole time, you know? Or again, is that left up to interpretation?
Yeah.
Or did Akira realize that him and Tetsuo's power is too much and he takes them both out? It's all left to interpretation.
Yes.
You know, we don't know. So, but a great movie. Watch this, man.
It's, absolutely.
Like I said, one of my favorite anime films of all time. We're going to talk about them for a minute. Some of our favorite animes. What are some of your favorite anime movies? I know you're a big Dragon Ball TV guy, but what are some favorite movies of yours?
I do like Ninja Scroll. Ninja Scroll is pretty badass.
You just like it for the tits, motherfucker.
Yeah, well, they're only in there for a little bit, and it's funny. He's the guy's the assassin that is like, you know, groping her. He's got like this huge mouth,
right.
And he just plops them in his mouth like they're M&Ms.
But then there's also the scene with the boss, and he walks in and he's doing his business, and
yes.
He just stops and answers a question that goes back to his business.
Yep. But yeah, Fist of the North Star, Spirited Away was awesome. You know, those are some good films that I like. If you know, we're talking anime,
another complex one that I didn't completely understand when I first watched it was Ghost in the Shell, and now I watch it and I get it more. And I know Ghost in the Shell sometimes is not, it's not as good as Akira, but and it scales down its manga it's based on also, and Ghost in the Shell does have a bit of a weaker ending than like Akira does. But I really like Ghost of the Shell a lot. I'm a big fan of that movie.
Mm-hmm.
I also like Princess Mononoke is probably my favorite Miyazaki film. I like Spirited Away, but I like Mononoke. Just I don't know. I really enjoy Ponyo. I know it's more for kids,
Ponyo.
Man. But it's such a good movie. You know, it's cute, but it's like engaging. You know, those are some of my favorite animes as far as anime. You know, I'm a big Transformers movie fan, which could be considered anime.
Yeah,
you know,
could.
So, as far as animated series, I grew up with Speed Racer and Voltron. You know, I know you're into Dragon Ball, Mobile Suit Gundam Wing.
Yeah,
my favorite
Mobile Suit
anime
Gundam
series.
Wing. Hero.
Yeah,
Hero.
Which
yeah.
I actually started watching Mobile Suit Gundam Wing on Hulu again, and it's still pretty good. You know, I forget that it's a slow burn because it's a TV series. I'm waiting for stuff to happen quicker, and I'm like, but it takes a few episodes for some things to happen. You know, but it's a good show.
Have you ever seen Yu Yu Hakusho?
No, you've talked about it.
I need to let you borrow it.
And, of course, Chuck Huber.
Yes.
Well, isn't it on Crunchyroll? I don't know.
Yes, it is on Crunchyroll.
But Crunchyroll just did a major update and just took a lot of stuff off.
I hope
like,
it's
Dragon
not
Ball Super's
off.
Not on there.
Really?
Yeah, they took it right off as soon as the show was over.
Oh, man.
Yeah, so I don't know. Crunchyroll just did a weird update, and, like, I don't know. Things weren't on there that were on there before.
Hmm.
Oh, Street Fighter.
Street Fighter
2, the animated movie. I know a lot of people, like, I really like that animated film. You know, that's anime. It's a fun Street Fighter movie.
That's probably the best.
Much better than the Van Damme movie.
Much better.
And so that's for sure. So,
wasn't Van Damme on crack cocaine whenever he did that film?
Was he on crack when he did Bloodsport? So I don't know. All right, well, that's it for Akira, I guess.
Yeah, that is it for Akira.
And our favorite anime movies. So let's talk about some news. Man, since last we met a couple weeks ago, there's been a lot of movie trailers out.
Yes.
And we're going to knock those out in a minute. But the first thing, the biggest thing in news is we've been waiting for this Aquaman trailer. We thought we were going to get it. Now they finally came out and announced we're getting the Aquaman trailer at San Diego Comic-Con. So we got to wait another month to see how badass Jason Momoa
SDCC.
Is.
SDCC.
You know, and obviously they're going to probably release like a 4-minute trailer at Comic-Con. And then we'll probably get a 2-minute version to the rest of the world until the Comic-Con version leaks out. You think that's too late? 6 months before? Or you think it's okay? I mean, it should be okay. Yeah. I think maybe DC is feeling that maybe they overdid it with Justice League and it wasn't successful. So maybe they're making sure things are right for the marketing campaign and for the movie itself.
Yeah, you know, DC's, they're still finding their groove. I think they're headed in a good direction. You know, as Avengers comes to a climax, I think we're going to see a lot of DC films. I think a lot of these Marvel fans are going to start, you know, being DC fans a little bit more, which you can be fans of both. It's okay. It's okay to like both. You should love all comics. All comics are awesome.
Yeah.
But you have these diehard people that probably never cracked a comic. They've just seen the movies.
Right.
And they're just like, oh, Avengers is better. And they're like, dude, unless you've read Detective Comics or Action Comics or anything like that, then you don't know anything.
Hey, I said keep them coming. Yeah. I had E3 on my news notes, but we kind of talked about E3 earlier, so we don't really need to go back to it. But let's talk about all these trailers that came out. Let's start with Bumblebee. Man, you know, the Transformers universe, you know, I guess they're going to reboot this thing after Bumblebee. I don't know, but man, Bumblebee actually looks pretty good.
It does. I was skeptic at first.
Yeah, because the last night sucked.
Yes.
Age of Extinction was okay. But overall,
change of pace. Yeah.
Overall, the Transformers movies haven't been that great, man. But I don't know, man. Bumblebee just looks like a fun adventure movie. It looks like that Starscream in there, which looks cool as shit.
Yes.
You know, and it's Michael Bayless. Yeah, he's producing it, but let's face it, Bay's probably a producer by name. I don't think he's on set doing anything.
Nah.
It's from Travis Knight, who directed Kubo and the Two Strings, which is... We just did an anime. Kubo and Two Strings is an amazing stop-motion animation film. One of my favorite animated movies I've watched in the last few years. Have you watched Kubo yet?
Yes.
Dude, it's just a great film. So I'm hoping that that translates and Travis Knight's able to bring us a really good, fun Bumblebee movie.
Well, I mean, they did a... It looks like they made him into Herbie Fully Loaded a little bit. Yeah, right. He's a Bumblebee. I mean, he's a Volkswagen Beetle. So, hey, you know, it looks fun. It looks good. There's no Shia LaBeouf in there.
No, thank God. Either.
Yeah, so,
And the girl from True Grit is quite grown up now. She's very pretty.
Yes.
But I still feel, like, perverted saying anything more than that, even though she's, like, 22 now.
Yeah, I know.
You know, she looked kind of rough and tough in True Grit, like, boyish. Now I'm like, wow, she's a pretty young lady. Yeah, that's all I'm going to say. Frank was here, he would make it creepy. But we don't want to make it creepy.
Yeah, no creepiness here.
Next trailer, Wreck-It Ralph 2.
I'm going to wreck it.
I'm all in. Wreck-It Ralph's one of my favorite Disney movies of the last few years. I can't wait for this.
Give me back my medal.
Yeah, I mean,
he's good.
That's opening weekend. I'm there. He goes in the internet this time. There looks like there's a Star Wars reference in there. Just bring it on.
Yes, all of it.
I don't know what else to say about that. Then I'm ready to see Wreck-It Ralph 2 right now.
Yes.
You know, next trailer, the Lego Movie 2.
Yes.
Long in the making. The Lego Movie 2, the second part. It looks like what you'd expect from a Lego Movie sequel. It's really funny beginning. Like, it's been 2 years since the disastrous Taco Tuesday. And really tongue-in-cheek humor. It's different directors this time. You know, because Christopher Miller and Philip Lord went on to make Solo, then got fired from Solo, but it was too late for him to make a Lego Movie 2. So it's different guys making a Lego Movie 2.
Yeah.
But, you know, these movies have been fun so far. Really, the only mishap was Lego Ninjago. That wasn't that great. Mm-hmm. But Lego Movie and Lego Batman were a lot of fun. So this should be a lot of fun, too. It's not coming out till February, so we got a few months. But any thoughts on Lego Movie 2?
It looks good. I like the trailer. I'm glad that, you know, even though we don't have the original directors, it looks like we have the original cast.
Yeah.
And I didn't see if Will Ferrell is in there or not.
Yeah, I didn't either.
Yeah.
The next trailer. Halloween.
Yes.
I'm not down, dude.
No,
I'm
just you're not like, down?
it's been done. It's been done. It's like, why keep doing these? It's what? Like, they can't create new horror people anymore. Like, they have to go back to all these old icons.
Because they're the best.
The Rob Zombie movie sucked.
Yeah, it did.
It's just like, I'm just like, why? I just think it's, you know, I'm to the point where, like, do a Monsters Brawl movie. Do a modern-day Monster Squad, only make it for adults, put Freddy, Jason, all these guys in one movie.
That would be
cool. You know, I'm just like, I don't know, just, I'm not down.
No?
You know, I mean, we'll see. That's just, I just think, like, why, you know. Just like the next trailer, I also feel Dumbo. Okay, man, people all over the internet the other day were so excited for this Dumbo trailer, and I'm just like, no, don't get me wrong. Disney's live action movies have been pretty good, you know.
Yeah.
Even though Beauty and Beast, I didn't think was that great. I love the Jungle Book. Maleficent was okay, but Dumbo to me is just kind of like, it's probably one of my least favorite animation Disney movies, and mm-hmm. and Tim Burton, man, hasn't really made anything great in years, and I don't know. And there's, like, you sent me a little joke about Danny DeVito in another Tim Burton movie.
Yeah.
We'll see. I don't know. I'm just not, you know, not feeling it.
If it's like Big Fish, you know, then I think it can be good. I think he definitely has the potential, but, you know, what have you done for me lately? You're only as good as you were yesterday, right?
Yeah.
Yeah.
That's true. And then the last trailer, Spider-Man Into the Spider-Verse.
Yes.
This looks cool. And I really hope it's successful because I want to see more, man. And I haven't even seen this one. I already want to see more.
Miles Morales.
I like the animation style of it. The fact that Miles Morales is being brought into it looks like a lot of fun. Spider-Gwen.
Yes, Spider-Gwen.
Little surprise at the end of the trailer. And Sony had been talking about doing this movie for a couple of years now, and we're finally getting it off the ground. It looks like it's a little bit older Peter Parker.
Yes, definitely.
If that's Peter Parker, you know, because this is multiple Spider universes.
Mm-hmm.
You know, DC has been killing it with their animated films on video, even though the last couple ones of it, they've slacked the back a little bit.
Mm-hmm.
But, man, there's a place out there for Marvel animation. I know this isn't Marvel Studios, this is Sony, but this might be my must-see movie this Christmas. You know, I mean, other than Aquaman, you know, basically now that Christmas time's coming, it's Aquaman and Spider-Man and the Spider-Verse for me. What do you think about the Spider-Man trailer? I think it looks awesome.
I thought it was hilarious whenever they're eating at the restaurant, and he's like, "You got any money?"
Yeah.
And he's like, "Oh, I can tell that," or he's like, "I can tell you're not a good role model," or something like that. And it just looks fun. It looks like it looks like a good Spider-Man film.
Yeah.
And that they capture, you know, Spider-Man's humor in it at least.
Right.
Yeah.
So that should be fun. And any news I missed? It was mostly trailer talk.
Yeah, a lot of trailers. You know,
There's probably some news out there I'm not thinking about.
What about, did Kathleen Kennedy step down?
No, that was all rumor.
That was rumor?
Yeah. The whole Star Wars fandom thing the last couple weeks, I don't want to get into it too much because the internet's been crazy over it. You know, of course, I'm going to forget her name.
Rose.
Kelly Marie Tran, who played Rose, got off her Instagram because of bullies out there, and that's ridiculous, people, man. If you didn't like the movie, you didn't like it, but don't go abuse a young lady who
exactly
was so happy to be on Star Wars. She loved it, she supported it, and I look forward to her in Episode 9. She wasn't, if you had problems with Last Jedi, it wasn't her fault. You know, I love The Last Jedi. I'm loving it more and more the more I watch it, and I hope one day people come around. It's unfortunate that Solo hasn't done as well because of the backlash on Last Jedi.
Yeah.
Because Solo's such a good film, and I'm Star Wars forever, and that's just the way I am. And then I'm sure there's going to make a movie eventually that I don't like. I think it could happen, but right now, they made 10 films, and I've liked it. There's something I like about all of them, you know.
Mm-hmm.
And you know,
it's like she did have the worst line in the film, but that doesn't mean like harass her so bad that you get her off of her Instagram. Pretty sad.
Which line was that? Where she takes the thing off the horse.
Now it's worth it.
Yeah,
and it's like the whole casino scene, but that's not enough to me.
No.
Yeah. You know, I thought it was hilarious. I thought the scene whenever Finn's trying to desert her, trying to get into the escape pod so he can warn Rey, I thought that was hilarious scene.
You know, no, she did a great job in her role, and I look forward to more of her. And, you know, knock on Rose at all. She mm-hmm. did great. It was a great character. We'll see where she goes in Episode 9. You know, J.J. Abrams will bring her in, and I'm sure he'll do something fun with her, too.
Oh, yeah.
So, before we get out of here, let's preview our next movie. And we are going to do a favorite director of ours, a big influence on us on podcasting. We've been talking about doing a Kevin Smith film for a while. And the easy pick would be to do Clerks, but no, we're not doing Clerks.
No,
we're
going to
do his controversial film, 1999's Dogma.
That's why I had to come down here this morning, man. That's why I had to miss my cartoons. You call me, you tell me it's important.
We're going home.
Take it, man. Quit leering at me. People are going to think I just broke up with you.
Two fallen angels have just discovered a loophole that can get them back into heaven.
Outstanding work!
All they have to do is get to Red Bank, New Jersey. There's only one problem.
What are you? What do you want with me?
Stop a couple of angels from entering and thus negating all existence. I hate it when people need it spelled out for them.
Now,
I'm to charge you with a holy crusade.
One person has been chosen to stop them, but she won't have to do it alone.
I'm Jay, and this is my head of a life mate, Silent Bob.
You gotta be kidding me.
Prophets.
In a manner of speaking.
What about sex?
No sex.
Guys, I guess just don't follow the sky, you know?
Oh, that sucks!
What are you?
I was the 13th apostle.
You knew Christ?
No. Brother owes me 12 bucks. I thought she looked familiar.
Let me guess. 14th apostle.
Would you like two tickets to New Jersey, please?
Jersey's sold out, sir. I suggest you not underestimate the staggering drawing power of the Garden State.
They're successful. You, me, all of this ends in a heartbeat. I feel like Han Solo, you're Chewie, and she's Ben Kenobi.
Prepare to taste God's wrath.
Anyone who isn't dead or from another plane of existence would do well to cover their ears right about now.
World's against us, dude. I swear to God.
What's he like?
God? He's got a great sense of humor. Take sex, for example.
Sex is a joke in heaven.
The way I understand it is mostly a joke down here, too.
Get it?
Yes.
And this is a movie that, you know, caused a lot of controversy when it came out, and people, and Kevin Smith was like, I don't care, you know, I'm going to make it anyway. And I remember seeing it in theaters, and I'm Catholic, and you're Catholic. And, mm-hmm. and I walked out of it like thinking that it hit the nail on the head as far as how religion goes sometimes.
Yeah.
And it's a fun movie. It's a funny, funny movie.
Mm-hmm.
If you sit back and take it for what it is. And I'm looking forward to talking about it.
Yeah, yeah. I mean, and it's the cast in it. I mean, you've got a lot of big names in the cast. I mean, you've got George Carlin the priest?
Yes, yeah. George Carlin plays the priest. You know, I can barely talk. Jay and Silent Bob are in it, of course, and they're kind of the comic relief in it. Chris Rock is in it. Selma Hayek, looking good as always, in it.
Yeah.
A great cast. A very young Ming Chen, friend of the show. He plays like a patron in the bar. He doesn't have any words with it, but he's just sitting there smiling.
Yeah.
Because this is like when he first started working for View Askew. So it should be a fun movie to talk about. We've done a couple action movies, like three or four action movies in a row here. So we're going to do like a comedy. There's a little bit of action in it.
Mm-hmm.
And talk about one of our favorite Kevin Smith movies next week on the show as we talk about Dogma. So it should be a fun one as we count down to episode 100. Speaking of, we are three episodes away from 100. We are going to be doing a very big special episode for 100 with a big special movie we're going to talk about. And keep an eye on our Twitter if you don't follow us at Rebel Radio Pod and our Instagram.
Yes.
We're going to leave our voicemail number up there so you can leave us audio or send us some messages on Twitter. And we will talk about all those on the show. And it's going to be a huge event. So keep an eye on our social media accounts for how you can get involved with us for episode 100 over the next few weeks. That's coming soon. Wow, man, 100 episodes.
Mm-hmm.
Took us a little bit of time to get here. If Hurricane Harvey hadn't happened, we'd probably been there already, but we're almost there. That's all that matters. Right now, it's on schedule for the weekend of July 6th and 7th. That's when we're going to be recording the 100th episode of the Rebel Radio Podcast.
And, nice.
A big deal. So keep an eye out. Go to therebelradiopodcast.com. Follow us on our social media so you don't miss a thing. And while you're there, donate or buy a t-shirt. It helps out.
Yes.
I got to keep plugging it because we hungry.
Yes, you know? We are hungry.
So thank you as always for listening. We hope you enjoyed this episode, and we always do appreciate the support. Oh, and one more shout out at the end of the show that I forgot to do. Man, I have to give a shout out to Miguel from Critical Thinking Podcast, friends of ours. He's always supporting us, retweeting, giving us a big shout out. And I feel bad I put it at the end of the show, but I know Miguel, he'll forgive us. But thank him so much for being such a big supporter.
Yes.
And him and his friend Kyle at Tokyo Munchies in Japan, big supporter too. He's always retweeting stuff and taking care of us and looking out for our tweets. So those guys, thank you so much. So until next time, this has been Mark.
This has been Matt.
Go to therubberiopodcast.com. Thank you as always for listening. Just go
there and do it.
This is Chuck Huber. You're listening to the Rebel Radio Podcast. Stop being so awesome.
This is Booker T, Hall of Famer, and you're listening to Rubber Radio. Now, can you dig that, sucker?